Thanks for listening to this podcast. I am Jessica Bordalo, Young Adult Ministry Consultant and the editor of LCMSYAM.org. A few weeks ago, a group of Christian young adults gathered at the Crave Coffee House in St. Louis to discuss how to share the love of Jesus with other young adults. The four panelists all work within the realm of young adult ministry and are young adults themselves. The conversation was streamed as a live webcast, and this is the audio of that webcast. We recorded in a coffee house, so you can hear some ambient noise in the background, but the conversation is clear and easy to understand. This audio has been provided to us courtesy of Creative Communications for the Parish at www.livingthegospellife.com. If you want to watch the conversation, you can go to livingthegospellife.com and click on Everyday Evangelism Young Adult Edition. Otherwise, you can hear the first half of the conversation on this podcast and the second half on our next podcast. I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation and are encouraged to share the love of Jesus with those around you. Good evening and welcome to Everyday Evangelism, the Under 35 edition, sponsored by Creative Communications and its new daily devotional, Living the Gospel Life. We're so glad that you've joined us for this conversation this evening. So now let's get into tonight's topic. Through this Everyday Evangelism webcast series, our goal is to take a closer look at specific circumstances where we can talk about our faith in everyday, casual situations and relationships that are a part of our everyday, day-to-day living. And so tonight, joining our conversation to specifically talk about how we reach out to young adults, we have a panel of experts who are all deeply involved in outreach ministries throughout the church. Tonight we're taking on the young adult topic, and our panelists for this special Under 35 edition are all leaders in this area. And I just make the cut because I'm almost not 35, but I feel like I could be here for a few more months, which is a good thing. It's a nice thing. But let's meet our panel. First, we have Jessica Bordalo. Jessica is the coordinator for Young Adult Ministries with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She works there to create dialogue and awareness about young adult ministry and to provide opportunities for service and leadership for young adults in our church body. You can connect with LCMS Young Adult Ministry at lcmsyam.org. And I hope you'll check out that great website, fantastic content, a blog, really great stuff there. We'll kind of go girl, girl, boy, boy here. So we'll talk about Sarah Gildalian. Sarah joined us for our last Everyday Evangelism stream, and she's back again tonight. She's the manager of evangelism training at Lutheran Hour Ministries, where she leads Mission U, which is a program designed to provide lay people with training so they can confidently accept their mission of sharing Jesus Christ with unique people in diverse settings. And you can learn more about them online at whatismissionu.com.
What's Mission U?
What's Mission U? I always add the is.
It's okay. We wanted to make it kind of,
cool.
Yeah, what's cool. Mission Thank you. Go.
It's
Thank
much
you.
Cooler. And see, I'm making it like a grammatical thing. I don't
Gretchen,
know.
Gretchen, you are very cool.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
I'm only 35. So Todd Leifer is in his fourth year at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, where he is preparing to lead and serve in the LCMS as a congregational pastor. And it's really great to have you here, Todd,
Thanks.
Representing all of the seminarian students here in St. Louis, who
Hardly,
I think
yeah.
you know, many may be tuning in tonight, which is great. We hope you'll ask Todd a lot of really hard questions. And finally, we have Jeff Clater. Jeff is pastor at Reliant Church here in St. Louis, a congregation based in the heart of the city that launched in 2007, I believe. And Reliant is the city site of Christ Memorial Lutheran Church and is really distinctive in its urban emphasis. You can check Reliant out at reliantchurch.org. So we're going to get started tonight, and really to launch things off, I just want to hear from each of you. We just want to hear from each of you, sort of your heart for this particular topic, Everyday Evangelism, the Under 35 edition. What makes this a relevant topic in our series on evangelism? Who wants to lead off? Sarah.
I'll go ahead and start. All right. Well, first of all, the millennial generation those are people that were born since 1980 and more recently, and they're the highest unchurched group of any generation, and so obviously this is a generation very in need of Christ. And so I think this is a crucial topic because obviously we all agree that we need to learn how we can effectively connect with them and then reach them based on their specific characteristics.
Yeah, I think this is a great topic to talk about because I think young adults are asking questions of the church and of theology, and I think they bring a lot to the table. They make the church really think about how to best communicate the gospel. I think they're just asking really good questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you look at that age demographic of emerging adults, like 18 to 25, the National Study of Youth and Religion, 80% of emerging adults are indifferent to religion. 80% of my friends and peers my age are indifferent. So it's so important that we find ways to reach them because they need to know about how much God loves them and what Christ has done for them. And it doesn't matter which age group you're from, that age group needs to hear that from you.
And I find that from a pastoral perspective, I look at the church probably being smaller and poorer in the future, simply because this generation presents so many issues and obstacles to conveying the gospel to them, probably more than any other generation.
I think Jessica also pointed something out. Basically, this generation is very apathetic. A lot of times we assume that, you know, somebody has presented the gospel to them or they've already gone to church and they've already rejected Christ. But this age group has not been raised in the church, as I mentioned. And so sometimes it's just the case of recognizing that they haven't said no. Something that one of our pastors said, Pastor Ryan Peterson, is don't say their no for them. So us recognizing that they haven't even been introduced to Christ, they haven't even been introduced to the church, so it's not that they said no, it's that they're very apathetic to it altogether. And so sometimes it's just asking them and just introducing them to who is this Jesus and why is he any different, you know, why is your life any different because of his presence?
Yeah, that same study that I quoted before said only 10% of emerging adults are hostile to religion. And like there's like the stereotype that they're all hostile to religion, but it's not true, only 10%. 80% are indifferent, which means the door is not closed.
Right? Yeah, so many of them just have questions and they just want to know more about faith and they want good, solid answers from Christians. So
it's really exciting that we're having this conversation at Crave Coffee House, which is a really unique ministry in St. Louis. And this coffee house is located literally on the sidewalk of the downtown campus of St. Louis University. And so it's really fitting that we're having a conversation about young adults and the faith right here at Crave. And so we just want to thank all those at Crave for hosting us tonight, allowing us to be here and talk about this. And all of you online who are watching, one thing that Jessica said as well is that this is an issue that impacts all of the ages. It doesn't matter whether this isn't an issue tonight just for young adults to tune into.
Exactly.
In fact, that we probably wouldn't have as large of an audience if that was all we were looking for.
Right.
This is something that all of us at any age and any stage can get involved with and be a part of. And really what's cool about living the gospel life is that it gives kind of a challenge to get involved in sharing that. And all of us know young adults in our context. And so tonight it'll be great to explore some practical ways to reach out and create relationship. Let's start with the first question. And I think because it can be sort of a doom and gloom kind of a thing, I'd like to start with sort of a bright spot question to begin with. And so I would love to hear about where you see some bright spots, where you see young adults leading, making a difference, getting engaged with the church in a way that could be really inspiring to anyone at any age, just as we kind of launch tonight.
Yeah, I think a couple of the characteristics of people in this particular generation are that they're independent and self-sufficient. Obviously, we see some of the negative things about that. It's a little bit more difficult in some ways to engage them. You know, they're kind of doing their own thing, checking out all the alternatives. However, the positive side of that is that they do have a lot of talents going for them. They're also the most highly educated group of any generation, so they have a lot of schooling, they have a lot of experience. So as somebody that could be a part of your church or a part of your ministry, they have a lot of wonderful things to add. Also, it's a very creative and artistic generation. And so, I mean, if we just kind of open our doors and our minds, it's interesting to hear from them, you know, what are your ideas? And that can help us also reach other young adults, obviously.
That's something I notice about my own generation. I think so many of my friends are so excellent at the things that they do. The church that I worked for last year, you know, we had a website designer who does outstanding work for the church and also for just other companies, but he hosted the church's website and does a great job. An event planner in our young adults group who would host events for the congregation. I mean, these people just, they know what they're doing. And so I think they can bring a lot of talents to the church.
We have we have a client right now that has a congregation, a Lutheran congregation, and we're starting a young adult, it's not just young adults, that's been kind of interesting, but predominantly young adult social media team, you know, and the thought process sort of is, you know, back in the day, some people were really great at making casseroles, and now young adults are really great at hosting on Facebook. So how can we create a team environment where they're managing that for the congregation? It's been a ton of fun. But what's cool is that we've also had a couple of like really older boomers and builders want to be on the team too, and it's created such a cool dynamic, like unexpected and really neat.
Go ahead.
I think giving leadership opportunities is one place where given a chance to do something. So you give a technology team, or you have a 25-year-old elder at your church. Then your leadership begins to reflect, or your congregational begins to reflect your leadership. They see that, and they get passionate about leading, I think, in general.
And this generation is so open to volunteering. Service-oriented. I mean, whether they're Christians or not, they value investing time into things, volunteering for Greenpeace, volunteering for the recycling center in their neighborhood. And so once they get plugged into a church body, they want to be part of it by volunteering and giving of themselves.
Yeah, that's the same thing that I've experienced too. I mean, young adults, they'll spend their time on things that they enjoy and things that they're good at. And if they think they're making a significant difference, they'll participate full throttle.
And that's the key, right? Relationship and then a meaningful task, meaningful task. Mm-hmm. And that's very different than some of the things that often our youth and young adults are asked to do around the congregation. Something that connects to the mission and is missional driven, I think, is really critical.
At young adults, they won't waste their time doing things that they don't like or things that they feel like they're just pushing papers or they're just doing random tasks. They don't like doing it.
Well, part of that is we noticed that the millennials are pretty flaky, and that's because they have a high, you know, self-esteem, really, because they've had a lot of pats in the back. Everybody wins an award just for participation, and so it's really easy for them to flake out. So I think that's why what Todd just said about really connecting with them and finding something they're interested in, that's a wonderful thing. Another thing for congregations is that sometimes we think, well, we have to get them in the pews, we have to get them to be part of the congregation, then get them tied into volunteerism or outreach. I would say that we should, as the church, get out and do volunteerism, then connect with them through secular volunteerism and outreach, where we're side by side with them, we're in the trenches with them, and that's an opportunity to build relationships like Gresha was talking about. And then once we've kind of gained permission into their life, then invite them into the church, and how wonderful would that be? But getting out of the church is really important in reaching this group, because they're not comfortable.
I have a laundry list of questions and can go all night. And so, you know, we've got people watching the stream. You folks, post your questions. Go ahead and put them into the Ustream chat or via Twitter. We really want to hear from you. But I do have another one, and I'll go ahead and ask it. Let's talk about what is specifically unique about outreach to people under the age of 35. I mean, there is a reason that we decided to kind of put this topic solo as its own emphasis. And so what do people need to keep in mind as they begin a relationship, a gospel conversation with millennials?
I think in the past, especially the baby boomer generation, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there has been such a focus on the seeker-sensitive, kind of a don't be overly religious, don't be, you know, too Jesus-y around them, because they'll turn them away because they've been turned off by church. But this generation hasn't been turned off by church. They've never been in church.
Right.
And so they're looking for things that give their life meaning. They're looking for ways that affect the community. And so you don't need to, the seeker-sensitive stage is kind of past. And it's okay that if you're doing church, to do church.
Yeah.
And for them to see that it's church.
Yeah.
And there's not the same stigma with religious symbols and religion. Yeah. Do you guys think that too?
Definitely. I mean, if young adults like feel like something's authentic, they are fully invested. But if they just have a sense that this just isn't real, or this isn't,
or
no one really cares about what's going on here,
they
can pick on that immediately.
The challenge that we face is a distance from the Christian memory, where there's really not even their parents didn't even drag them to Sunday school, which maybe a previous generation did. There were a couple of young men that I was talking to that were telling me about the movie 2012, which I didn't see, but it's about the end of the world, and they get, you know, save the species by, I guess, getting into boats. They were telling me, you get into boats and there's this flood. And I said, oh, it's like Noah's Ark. And there was no reference point for them. And so I'm like, well, let me tell you about this thing called resurrection. I mean, it's kind of it's a blank slate to start from.
Mm-hmm.
So there are challenges with it, but there's also, I think, great opportunities. And it's kind of cool not to have the baggage to start from scratch.
And it ups the ante, I think, for the church. I mean, I feel that we've been talking about this issue at various levels of the church for a really long time. Oh, we need to do more with young adults. And we really do. And that's why what you're doing with LCMS, with the young adult ministry focus, is so vital, and what's going on with Mission U and what you're doing at Reliant, quite frankly, although you have all ages and stages there. But I think that the old adage that, oh, well, they'll get married and have kids and come back. I think there's still so many people who truly believe that.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen, you know, in that way anymore. It's just not. It's
there's
not the way.
There's too many things competing for their time once they have kids. They're they won't come back to church. Yeah.
And there's no coming even back to something people. That you never were in, too. Right. Like, if you weren't raised in the church, what's going back?
Right.
Right.
And, I mean, I would just kind of note that we should also be focused on uplifting the young adults that we have in our congregations, because think of how easy it is for them to slip out if their friends, this is not a part of their culture. And then also when they have children or, you know, they're moving on with their life and their career, it's easy for them to pull out if you don't have something specifically for young adults. Something else that came to mind when you guys were talking is that there is kind of a fear, I think, between generations where the older generations are afraid to reach the millennials or you know, the Generation X even. And they think that the older generations think they can't have an opinion. In other words, they can't say that they believe in Jesus. They can't talk about their personal relationship. Well, we have a new course coming out from Mission U about utilizing media for outreach, and I recently just did focus groups and surveys with young adults, and they said, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, all these different things, they want you to put your opinion. They really do. They want to know if you believe in something. They're fine with that. They don't like the mindlessness of just putting a quote up and not saying anything that you believe in. What they don't want, and which you're probably sensing a little bit, is judgment, specific judgment. So when you're coming at a millennial or a Generation Xer and you're trying to share your faith, don't focus on law with them so much as in you're living with your girlfriend, so let's attack that first. No, come at it from, this is my personal relationship with Jesus and I want to share it with you, because nobody can change your personal relationship with Jesus, and you're not, you know, you're not slighting them at all. You're just sharing what you're excited about, and they can connect with that because that's genuine.
Other ideas? Things that you've seen work?
A friend of mine who's a missionary has a tagline, it's maybe not even his, so I don't know who I'm quoting, but he says, the important thing is you earn the right to be heard. And it reflects the relational, the necessity of relationships. No longer can you just put up a billboard, and inviting to church is not outreach. It begins with the relationship, as you were saying. It has to be authentic, and that takes time. You have to truly earn the right to be heard. It takes a lot of listening up front before you can earn the right to actually say something that they will take to heart.
Something that you alluded to, and Sarah did too, about this generation that's unique, is their non-age biasness. Like the past generations, you know, you think of like in the 60s and everyone's like, oh, don't trust anyone over 30, you know. And
yeah.
That's not prevalent in young adults. They're looking for mentors. They're open to having relationships with people of all different age groups. It just matters that you have common interests, that you care about each other, that there's a relationship. And so I think a lot of older adults, baby boomers or, you know, generations older, are really hesitant to start to create those relationships that you were talking about, because they're like, oh, they won't want to hang out with me. They think I'm too old. But that's not a trend of this age group.
So what? And so if they like older people, the Lutheran church is poised and ready. True, right? But let's talk about what kind of a church do you think, do you see young adults looking for? Is there a stereotype? And I think there's some people who probably think there is one. Maybe you agree with that or disagree with that. But what kind of a church do you see young adults connecting with?
Well, I mean, any church that has a sense of community, a strong sense of community, where young adults can find other people their age. But not just that, they're looking for a church, like a church where everyone is connected and they see something different happening there that they see down the street or, you know, in their other social clubs or groups. If they can see that in church, they'll buy in. Yeah.
I was hanging out on the campus, talking to some college-age girls, doing a podcast for the website, LCMS Youth Ministry website, and these college girls are saying, I asked them the same question, you know, what do you look for in a church? They're like, people who will talk to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
End of it. That was all. People that will talk to them, that will hang out with them, that will create relationships with them. That's something that we can do.
Right.
Yeah, I think this generation, especially the millennials, well, I run a program called 514, which is specifically geared towards millennials. And so we've done a lot of research with them, and actually they've kind of helped put this program together. And it comes from Matthew 5:14, which says, you are the light of the world. Well, in our studies with them, we really asked them kind of the things that Jessica alluded to is, you know, is there anybody that's too old? You don't want to associate, be affiliated with them? And really, no, because think about it. Their parents have a high divorce rate. So a lot of these people come from single-parent homes. or they come from just a broken family. So they're looking for baby boomers. They're looking for people to connect with. So like Jessica alluded to, within this church that you're talking about, the ideal church for young adults, something where it does offer mentorship. At St. John, the church that I'm a member at, they have something called Apples of Gold, and that's where the older women train the younger women in the way that they should go. And so they teach you how to be a wife. They teach you how to be a mom. And I have wonderful parents. However, they are divorced, and they're not perfect people. And I learned a lot about what I wanted my marriage to look like by this wonderful thing that they offered through our church. And I look up to the woman who led me through it as another mother figure. And I'm in the millennials still. Just made it. That close.
So if that's the kind of things they're looking for, what is a turn off?
Something that's not genuine, that's pretentious, that's fake, that doesn't seem real.
Yeah. Strictly a cultural faith, where you cling to the rites and the traditions, but there's nothing under in the underbelly of it, no depth.
Yeah, I think they want to be loved. I mean, just like anybody else, but they really just really want to be loved, and that's all it gets down to. Again, I kind of already discussed, you know, not going at it with judgment and law. This is specifically a generation that really needs the gospel. They need you to go to them with the gospel and with love, and there's nothing more I can say except for that. I mean, that's what they're looking for.
I mean, at the same time, I mean, young adults are looking on truth and on wisdom on how to live, and that's something the church can give them. Too, but I mean, they need the gospel, I mean, absolutely, hands down. But I think, you know, young adults have been told for so long that there's no such thing as truth, and I don't think they buy into that. I think that they know that there's a deeper reality out there, and the church has it, you know, and that's it's lying gospel. It's the whole package right there.
Yeah.
So, where can people go to be equipped to start reaching out? I mean, do you have examples of places where people can turn for insight and support? I mean, where would you suggest that, you know, folks who are sitting there watching this webcast and are saying, okay, so I've never created a relationship, we don't have many young adults at our church, how do you recommend they begin?
I added an online magazine, lcmsyam.org. And it's for young adults to help equip them to share their faith, but it's also for the rest of the church to help understand the culture of young adults. Mm-hmm. And we have blogs written by young adults. And some of them are how to start young adult ministry at your church, how to talk vocationally with young adults. And it's all written by young adults in the way that they speak, but it's for all ages. And I think that would be a really good starting place. So lcmsyam.org.
Great. Great resource.
I think there's two things. One, I would really reconsider who you know, because a lot of times we figure if we go out, we unroll the drawbridge of outreach from our church on a Sunday afternoon, then that's who we're engaging. But you're engaging the same barista at Starbucks probably every morning who's probably a young adult. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody that you see at the gym, people that you see in a regular occurrence, somebody you get your hair cut with, you're running into young adults unless you're literally not leaving the house. And so these are relationships that you have an opportunity to build upon as you run into them. The second thing is, what better way to reach this generation than training people in that generation who are Christians to effectively share faith with their friends and people within their sphere of influence? And so that's what this program that Lutheran Hour Ministries provides. It's all about 514. It's about training teenagers how to shine Christ's light in the lives of their friends and the people in their generation, because that's where it's going to be most effective. We all know peer pressure. So if we have Christians out there who are shining for Christ, they're showing that they genuinely love Him, that He is shining through them and all these wonderful things, and they love their friends, you know, just doing little things, sending notes and all these kinds of things, then it's really wonderful how God can kind of use us to equip them for them to then go reach other millennials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the young adults that you have in your congregation, they know so many people that are unchurched, and they're close friends with them. They're friends on Facebook. They hang out with them every week. They go to work with them. So you got to tap into that resource there. I mean, I would say, to answer your question, you got to start with your own context and talk to the people who are in your congregation. You know, what are, you know, ask a young adult, what are you, you know, interested in the church? What are you looking for out there? You know, you'll get to know what the young adults in your community are looking for, and you can help to provide that.
I don't know what most of our audience is, but if they're from, I'm sure there are many who are in churches that are aging and declining. And so there's this immediate sentiment of how can we go back? How can we get them back? and it's almost a survival mode. I think, you know, as Todd was saying, you start with who you have. Mm-hmm. You've got these, equip them and put them in leadership. Can you call one to be an elder at age 25 if your constitution allows that? Ours is 21, so we said we have two or three elders in their 20s, three or four in their 30s that we specifically sought out and put in that position. In other positions too, we realized that the guys up front looked old, and so we started having, you know, youth lectors and young people reading at least. I think for a lot of people who are out there who just are simply starting with what they have, you have to start there. And as we talked about older adults mentoring, there is a great openness to older adults who are willing to listen and love. That's where you start with what you got.
For the last 3 years at our church, all of the youth ministry for the high school and grade school kids has been done by teams of volunteer young adults in their 20s and 30s. And once they saw that it was a relational way to volunteer that was making a difference in the lives of these kids, these young adults have put in so many volunteer hours. And we meet once a month, and we started meeting at restaurants or at each other's houses so that we could eat while we would talk. Mm-hmm. And it turns out like that these have become social networks, and these young adults are now friends. And when they get together, what do they talk about? But the youth at church, and how can they do a better Bible study, or should we take them bowling this week, or should we do laser tag? And so like this became their ministry. They had ownership in it. They saw that it was like effectively helping people, and that's been fantastic at my church and been cool to be a part of for me too.
That's great.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. There's a lot more in the rest of the discussion, including practical suggestions about how to build relationships with people in their 20s and 30s. I pray this conversation is a blessing and motivation to you as you share your faith with young adults. Please look for the rest of the discussion on our next podcast. Talk to you then.